Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Our Father, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies, for thy goodness which has created us, thy bounty which has sustained us, thy fatherly discipline which has corrected us, thy patience which has borne with us, and thy love which has redeemed us. We thank thee for this place of worship and all who gather here. Grant us, we pray, a sense of thy presence and counsel and direction. Grant, O Lord, thy guidance and thy strength to all who compose this community. May our minds be ever responsive to thy wisdom. May our hearts be responsive to thy love and our service to thy call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today and tomorrow on our campus, we are privileged to have guests from the Annuity Board. I'm sure that our seniors especially are aware of their presence and their offer of lunch or the evening meal this evening as guests of the Annuity Board. From time to time, we have these representatives with us to explain programs which will be helpful to both students and those who will find places of service upon graduation. All who are graduating sometime during this year are invited today at 12 o'clock or 5 o'clock to be guests of the Annuity Board for a meal together, or tomorrow at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. If you do not receive a ticket, tickets are available in the cafeteria. The four guests from the Annuity Board are Mr. Baynard Fox from the home office in Dallas. Mr. Fox is no stranger to this campus. Mr. Frank Schwall, who is the newly elected representative of the Annuity Board in the Virginia Baptist Association, will join these men later in the day. From our own state, Mr. Sam O'Neill, the representative with the North Carolina Baptist State Convention. And our speaker for this morning, Mr. Alan Owens, the annuity board representative from the South Carolina Baptist State Convention. Mr. Owens has agreed to lead us in worship today. He is a native of Wilson. He is a graduate of Mars Hill College and Wake Forest College. And then he went on to Southern Seminary. I think that Mr. Owens would have gone to Southeastern had Southeastern been in existence at that time. He served as pastor in North Carolina and South Carolina. His last pastorate was in Greenville. He's been on the staff of the South Carolina Baptist State Convention since 1966. Some of us who are a little older remember Mr. Owens, especially through the writings of his wife, Luly Latimer Owens, who wrote under the pen name Minnie Bell for some 20 years. She wrote this column in the Baptist program. She has also written other articles and lessons and books, but we feel like we know Mr. Owens through Minnie Bell. That may be to his advantage or disadvantage, as the case may be. After our choir has brought special music, Mr. Owens will serve as our worship leader.
It is an emotional experience for me to be at this place, to walk around on the grounds, to look at the magnolia trees and think about some buildings which are not now here, because I lived in the days in which there was a firebug here that wanted to burn down all the buildings and succeeded in burning down two and tried several others. So that may date some, but there are some of you here this morning probably that can remember those days. But I like to think of this place particular as a place in which I had a certain amount of maturity. And I might also say that those were the days in which Baptist Student Union was very active on the Wake Forest campus. I might also remind you that those were days in which some of us prayed some. Not sure how much goes on now. You can tell me about that. But those were interesting times, and it is great to be here and move around on this place that meant so much to me in those days in which I was a student at Wake Forest. I want to point your attention here now to a passage of Scripture in two places, really, in the 13th chapter of John and in the 17th chapter of John. These scriptures were given by our Lord from between the time that he instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room and the time that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. A new commandment I give unto you, 34th verse, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to the other. And then, just as that thought is emphasized in a number of places, this other thought is also emphasized in a number of places. Jesus is praying in the 17th chapter of John, Father, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. I believe when a man gets ready to die, that he's going to say that which is most important to him to be said. I believe he's going to say that which he believes is most important for his hearers to hear. I believe he's going to say that which he believes is most important for the future of all of his disciples. And that's why I think Jesus gave what I have read in the scripture here this morning, because he wanted to emphasize it. He wanted to leave out of his bodily presence with these thoughts impressed upon the minds of his disciples. And so he gave two thoughts here, which he emphasized over and over in a number of verses of Scripture. First of all, that ye love one another. Just as I have loved you to the uttermost, I want you to love one another. And I recognize the fact that our denomination is now in the process of trying to emphasize this passage of Scripture to us, that ye love one another, because I think all of us recognize that love is the most powerful force in all the world. I read the other day that there's a beam that goes through 20 feet of cement, solid cement, but there's something stronger even than any beam that we might make. And that is this matter of love. And I recognize that we have talked a lot about love, but it's not the kind of love that Jesus talked about and felt and lived while he walked among his disciples. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. But we see so much otherwise nowadays. There's so much hate that's been going abroad. I believe I see some change. But yesterday morning, I had engagement conference with at 10 o'clock with the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan of South Carolina. whose name is Roy Scoggins. I don't know whether he has any relatives over this way or not. He was supposed to be there, but he didn't show up. His associate came, though, a fellow whom I've known for several years as really an emotionally disturbed person. 2 years ago, he called me and had quite a conversation over long distance on the phone and says, "I believe God wants me to be a preacher. And I think I'll go up here to Fruitland Institute and get me some training, and then I'm going to come back and be a preacher." And by the way, fellas, you know a number are. I don't say that they're all emotionally disturbed, but some are going to Fruitland and cutting short training, which ought to be at Southeastern or somewhere else here. But I was impressed yesterday by this fella who is a paid official of the Ku Klux Klan of South Carolina, a man who was in a car wreck and spent $25,000 in health costs while he was in the hospital, and a man who, in all of his conversation now, he came to me with the idea that we need help. We want you to discuss this matter of drugs with us, you know, and see if we can strengthen the laws against drugs. But what impressed me more than anything else in all the conversation was his use of words and his attitude toward people. I think he hates people. I know he hates, quote, niggers. And I thought that had passed out, but it isn't gone yet. It's still around. And it's a part of his life, niggers and Jews. Everything he had to say related directly to them. And one, he wanted to tell me a great deal of his experiences and what he knew and his relationship. But I find that he is so short on this passage of Scripture. So I said, maybe I'd better emphasize it over here at Southeastern this morning, this matter of love one another, because I don't want you going out talking about niggers or Jews or anybody else in this way that the Ku Klux Klan, I don't know how many are Ku Klux Klan members out here this morning, and you'll have to forgive me if I say this little derogatory in behalf of the Ku Klux Klan. But when I grew up as a child in North Carolina, Ku Klux Klan organization was quite strong, and you may have some strength in the Ku Klux Klan over in North Carolina today. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, love one another. And I want to emphasize this. I heard Roy Rogers and Dale Evans sing song. Most of our songs about love don't have so much meaning spiritually. At least people don't take it that way. But they sang a song, give a little love and it'll come back to you. And you know, I believe that, because I know that whatever we give out is going to come back to us. These people who have hate in their hearts, it's going to be in their homes, it's going to be in their business, it's going to be in their community, everywhere they walk, hate is going to be a part of it. They can't separate it. But if you have love, it's going to be there too. And I would maybe say it this way, that if you give out hate and ill will, if you give out hell, it's going to come back to you. And that holds for ministerial students too. Sometimes we preach hell like we're so glad for everybody to go there. Well, that'll come back to you too. And I know a lot of churches that don't have pastors in places, because these fellows preached hell in a way that they wanted everybody to go there. And they just couldn't stand the pressures. Give out hate, it'll come back to you. But you give out love, and it'll come back to you. Oh, you just try it and find out that if you can love like Jesus loved, it'll come back to you, and all the people will have a great time. You can lead your people if you love them. I worked 10 years at trying to get our church, where I was last pastor, to accept anybody. And after I left there, we had the sweetest fellowship I've ever seen in any church anywhere in this world, because they held out arms. I mean, they meant it. And they said, come. We have an open church. Love like Jesus loved, it'll make a difference. And then this other thought this morning is, Jesus not only prayed that we love everybody, and he commanded that we love one another, everybody, but he also prayed, Father, that they be one. As you and I are one, make them one with us. I think there's something very mysterious here. It's deeply spiritual. Father, make them one with us. And I think Jesus is trying to say, like he demonstrated out there when he called his disciples out to the edge of Jerusalem and said, now, I want you to be my disciples, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to go in my name, and I want you to minister. But before you go, go to the upper room and there pray and meditate until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you can witness effectively for me. I like the way Luke reports it over here in Acts when he says they were all of one accord in one place. And I believe what he was trying to say was that of one accord in one place, of one mind, of one heart, of one purpose, so much so that he was saying that nothing in this world matters except that the will of God be done in me. And what a difference it will make in all of our churches when our people who are Christians can get together in love and oneness. I believe God can do whatever he wants done when people love like this and are together of one accord. With that kind of dedication, all of our denominational programs will go over well. We've had the best convention in South Carolina we've ever had. During our associational treks this year, I never heard one criticism of any one person or any one institution or agency of Baptists anywhere. And not one word did I hear at our South Carolina Baptist Convention of criticism. It was positive. It was filled with love. It was filled with progress. And that's the way I believe God wants it. When I think back over here at the disciples of Jesus Christ, how they were known, you know, they had hardships and hard times in that first century. But even in the midst of being put to death in all these various ways, there was one thing that was said by the world which gave an image of a disciple which we need today. They said, the world said, of the disciples, see how they love one another. And I believe that when we love one another as Jesus loved, it's going to make that kind of difference with the world. You look out here and think about a place, you know, where disciples might go, these people who have accepted Jesus Christ, and where they want to go, where they want to be members. They want to be members where they can find, here's a fellowship of people who really love one another. That's where they want to join. And I believe that with the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, it can be sort of like I used to see when I went out from Winsboro while I was pastor over there to Parr Plant. I'd see the coal poured in there and see the inferno of fire and see the turbines turn upstairs, and to watch them, about 13 in one room, I noticed and they turned these until they got the same velocity, and after all of them were turning the same speed, the man pushed a lever and locked them all together so that they could generate a maximum amount of electricity to go out and bless the houses and institutions of all of that area. And I believe if God today could have access to all of us, and we could get such spiritual intensity that somehow or other we would be locked together to do what God wants done in our churches. May God bless us to that end. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today for the power of the Spirit in our hearts who quickens us and enables us to have decisions. And help us now today, Lord, to be truly thine, to be of one accord with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to love one another so much so that the world will take notice and say, see how they love one another. In Jesus' name we pray.